Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Monday, February 7th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I was listening to Bill Maher. Bill Maher, as you know, has a cable comedy show, I guess comedy/talk show, and he is, of course, one of the darlings of the left, although I think he defines himself as somewhat of a libertarian, but he is nonetheless very liberal in many instances, although he's a thoughtful person, and at times he says things that I find shocking. One of those things occurred this week. I was watching a clip where he really began to take on the medical community and even the government in terms of how it handled COVID. And what it did to us, what it did to our children, what it's still doing to children. What he said was, what prompted him to even go there was all of the commotions that happened over Joe Rogan's podcast and what Joe Rogan has said in terms of COVID and therapeutics, but also as a result of him recently being somewhat censured by Spotify. Someone put together a montage video of Joe Rogan over the last, 12 years on episodes where he used the N-word, only he said it. He didn't use the N-word as N-word. He said the word. And they made him look like an incredible racist. Most of those were taken out of context. They simply grabbed the word. And in many instances, he was actually quoting or referring to something that someone else had said. And so Bill Maher started this monologue by saying that, and this is the quote, "While the tsunami of piler-ons grows, because what's more virtuous than signaling your disdain for someone that dares to think for themselves, there is also a gathering storm of support for Rogan and what his podcast stands for," end quote. And the reason that I was taken with that, number one, I was taken with the quote because he actually uses the phrase think for themselves, which is what this podcast is all about. But he makes the point that people who are piling on, meaning those who are daily jumping on the bandwagon of cancel Joe Rogan, those people, he's saying that they're virtue signaling. And it's easy to do that when you're not thinking for yourself. When you think for yourself, you tend not to jump on the bandwagon. He then himself went on to, as I said, take some shots at the medical community, the pharmaceutical community, the local, state, and federal government, in many instances of lockdowns, of the ineffectiveness of how it all played out. The audience was clapping and they were cheering him at different points in the monologue, and I was really taken with it. Why? Because Bill Maher is now making it okay to say in mainstream media and on the left what those on the right have been saying since the beginning of the pandemic, that masks don't work, that vaccines are somewhat suspect, that not everyone needs them, that natural immunity is 3,000 times more effective in terms of antibody protection than is the vaccine. Now, because Bill Maher is saying it, suddenly all of those who were condemning and calling for the hanging, for the noose around the neck of the people on the right, or even anyone, regardless of their political affiliation, who dared to say something other than the accepted narrative about the jab and about lockdowns, that he's making it okay for those same people to now jump on and say exactly what half this country just about, or at least a quarter of the country, has been saying for a year and a half to 2 years. Which of course leads me back to think for yourself. Because whether you are someone who was railing against opposing views at the outset, meaning whether you were someone who was with the mainstream, who was saying that if you're challenging vaccines or you're doubting the efficacy of masks or lockdowns, that you should be canceled or you should be ostracized or you aren't following the science, or whether you're one of the people now who is saying the opposite because Bill Maher is making it politically and sociologically acceptable to now challenge that narrative, that official narrative. In both instances, you are among a group of people who cannot think for themselves because you were 180 degrees in the other direction 2 years ago because it was the official narrative. And now you're 180 degrees in the opposite direction because it's becoming socially acceptable. Why? Because the statistics and the data and the way this thing has played out, it turns out there's a whole lot of truth in what those people who opposed it all from the beginning, or at least questioned it all from the beginning because they were thinking for themselves, it turns out those people had a great deal of merit in where they were coming from. I found it a little irritating. I found it a little frustrating. I found it very hypocritical that people who start in one position are so willing to throw that under the bus and move 180 degrees in another direction. Why? Because they're part of a crowd. Because they have the pseudo support and the pseudo authenticity, they think, in numbers and in the fact that people in positions of, quote, power, whether it be political power or media power or any power, are now with them, it makes it safe for them to appear to have an opinion of their own. But in reality, they don't. You know, it reminds me, I have a relative who shall remain nameless, who many years ago went to psychotherapy. And he allegedly went to psychotherapy for, well, to grow. Why does anybody go to psychotherapy? To work through their own problems. And after, I don't know, I think it was about 2 years of psychoanalysis, he quit. He stopped because he had achieved his goal. The irony was that after 2 years of psychotherapy, he learned to give himself permission for everything he believed when he went into psychotherapy. There was no change. And he was also someone who, whenever he read a book or read an article, his opinion on that subject became the opinion of the last book he read or the last article he had perused. This is not thinking for yourself, right? When you need an authority outside of yourself to validate what you yourself choose to believe or to validate what you yourself want to put your own integrity and energy behind, that's not thinking for yourself. And that's not maximizing your ability as a, as I like to say, free-willed, unique, divinely created being that is your birthright. And so where do you get that kind of confidence and certainty and surety? And how do you think for yourself? Well, this past week, I also was reading some of Thich Nhat Hanh's material. If you don't know who he is, Thich Nhat Hanh is a Vietnamese Tibetan Buddhist monk who he's a peace activist, he's an author, he's a poet. He is, in fact, I think the title that people have bestowed upon him is the father of mindfulness. I first came to know him and his work because for decades, one of my favorite exercises is walking. Particularly, I like to walk at night. I like to be under the stars and I like the quiet of what happens at nighttime when people tend to be in their homes and the sky gets dark and the stars come out and the traffic stops. Thich Nhat Hanh is someone who wrote a book and did a lot of talking on walking meditation, which is breathing and walking and being focused on your breath and your steps when you do, in fact, walk for meditative purposes. But I also in the past week was listening to Jordan Peterson. And if you don't know who he is a Canadian clinical psychologist. He's also an author. He's a professor emeritus at a Canadian university. Might be the University of Toronto. I'm not sure. I bring up these two people in regard to thinking for yourself because what I was particularly watching a video of Thich Nhat Hanh this week on home being within, meaning your real home, your true home is inside of yourself. And if you really want to go home, if you really want to find that place where peace resides and calm resides and mindfulness resides and a sense of ease resides and happiness and wellness, all of that is within us. And it reminded me that many years ago, I wrote an ebook called The Journey Within. And I said at the outset of the ebook that the only journey worth taking is the journey within. You know, we all take trips. We go to the Bahamas and we go to Europe and we take cruises to Alaska and we take safaris in Africa, and we're all traveling and we're looking, okay? We're looking for something when we travel. We're looking to satisfy something in ourselves. And on the surface, we can tell ourselves that it's just different cultures and to see parts of the world. But in reality, all travel, all searches are the search for inner peace. And the only place you can find that is, in fact, through an inner journey. Jordan Peterson, similarly, in the video I was watching this week, was talking about ethics and morality and how important it is to know your own of both, to know where your own ethical boundaries are and to know where your own moral boundaries are, and to be aware that even though we have them, all of us are capable of moving beyond those boundaries. All of us are capable of heinous acts. It's just a matter of at what point and under what circumstances would each of us be pushed to behave in a way that we would consider impossible for us to behave. So it's knowing who we are, knowing boundaries, but understanding that those boundaries are malleable and that we are all human and we all fall down and we all at times behave in ways that we wish we had not. But in the ultimate journey of finding out who we are, that journey within, it in fact means facing what I like to call the pug ugly part of ourselves. It means understanding the darkness as well as the light. Because the only place you can find balance is if you in fact are cognizant of those extremes. And it's in their recognition, it's in their acknowledgement that they exist, that you can then attempt to mediate them. We can then attempt to find that middle ground and know that it's in that middle place, that place of truthfulness where we aren't hiding our pain and aren't hiding from our suffering or running from it or being addicted to our cell phones or our computers or Instagram or Facebook or chocolate or alcohol or sex or whatever it is that causes us to think we can avoid facing the pug ugly part of our lives. It's when you embrace that. It almost is like the expression, there's nothing to fear but fear itself, right? When you walk into it, it loses all its power. It's keeping something that you're frightened of at a distance that gives it its energy. The same thing is true for the dark parts of ourselves. In the refusal to acknowledge that we have weaknesses, that we have shortcomings, that we are capable of cruelty to one another, it's in accepting that and facing it and acknowledging it that we are able to embrace it and therefore not allow it to have unmitigated control over us. Because again, when you keep something at a distance or you run from it, you only give it power. You give it power over you. And when you're busy running from, you can't earnestly be looking for or towards in a focused and a meaningful way, because you're too busy avoiding that which you don't want to face. I guess if I had to wrap up this podcast, it would be to say that knowing who you are is the first step in moving in the direction of thinking for yourself. When you know who you are, when you've established your ethics and your morality, when you know the good and the bad of you, there's power in all of that. And that power will always outrun, outshine, outdo, outmaneuver the manipulation that comes from avoidance and falsehood. You know, I think Napoleon Bonaparte said when he, in his very last days, when he was banished to Elba, to the island, and this is a paraphrase, it's not a direct quote because I'm trying to do it from memory, but he said something like that in looking back in hindsight at all that he had accomplished and failed to accomplish, that in the end, there was no physical force that could defeat the inner spirit. And I guess that's the point of the whole podcast. If we're looking around at our nation and we're uncomfortable with what we see, or we're looking around at our culture and we're uncomfortable at what we see, or we're looking around at our own lives and we're uncomfortable at what we see, what we need to do is turn that lens inside, take the inner journey so that we can get to the point where there is no external force that can vanquish the inner spirit. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold. I'll be back here again on Wednesday. And until I am, please think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.